Everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me today are two guys that you should be familiar with from the last time they were in the studio, Tobias and Slava. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Why don't you take a second for those poor individuals who didn't watch the last time you guys were in here. Why don't you take a second to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Tobias Ternström. Been yelling too much at Slava, so that's why my voice is a bit problematic. Work with program management for SQL Server on Linux.
Perfect.
And I'm Slava Oaks. I'm responsible for engineering sides of things for SQL Server on Linux.
Good. So last time we were in here, you gave us a phenomenal kind of introduction into SQL Server on Linux. You're back to show us more, right? So Tobias, you're first. What do you got for us today?
Good question. Yeah, we wanted to first, last time I think we showed you SQL Server running on Ubuntu. So
yep.
This time we'll show you SQL Server running on RHEL, Red Hat Enterprise Linux. And we're going to show an actual app running,
okay,
kind of end to end, installing it, getting it up and running, and also give you some preview of performance and features and give you a sense that we're doing something that we're pretty proud about.
Cool. Kind of a sneak peek. Awesome.
Yes.
All right. Absolutely.
Let's jump right in.
Cool. So I'm here in my terminal on RHEL, and first of all, I'm going to just install SQL Server so we kind of get started from the right place. And just like on Ubuntu or Windows, it's SQL Server is supposed to have just be a good app on the operating system.
Right.
So the way you would expect to install an app, that's how you would install SQL Server. So on RHEL, we use yum, right? So we're going to yum install msql, you know, dash server, and kick it off. And it's a bit different. We've learned on Debian operating systems or Debian derivatives, you get prompts during install if there's anything that the app needs to know. Whereas on Fedora and RHEL, you add basically execute some program after the installation to do any final configuration steps.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
You mentioned Ubuntu. Not but that's fine.
On Ubuntu, whatever I meant,
yes.
We're doing the right thing here.
Okay, yeah.
That's right.
Understand what I mean, not what I say.
Yeah.
So, cool. So we've now basically laid out the files on disk. Now we need to run the configuration utilities. We're in opt msql bin. We have a config utility here called SQL Server Setup. Have to accept the license agreement, set root password for SQL Server.
Okay.
And then after this, we need to just start the service. And then we basically have installed SQL Server on RHEL this time.
Okay. And what's the, so this is actually pretty quick. This, what's the typical time frame it takes to install SQL Server on Linux here?
Yeah, it's whatever you saw there. Yeah.
Okay, so
a couple of seconds to
Wait a minute. Okay, we're done.
And this is something obviously you don't see much, but this has been a huge focus for the team to make sure that it's a just great app on Linux.
End to end, right? Okay.
Yep.
So now we have it set up and running. So next step is obviously to just connect. So can connect here as the SA user, run the standard select at that version. So we see it's running.
Yep, good.
And next step, so now let's show something more than what it showed last time, other than that we're showing it on RHEL here. Let's show an actual app. So here we have an app, and it's a simple voting application. So you can basically vote for one of two alternatives. You can see the results of the votes. And the app is written in JavaScript on Node.js and in Java. So we can take a quick peek here. First, just what does the table look like that we're going to store the votes. A very simple app, right?
Yeah.
It's a votes table. You can see here we store the votes. You can also notice it's a memory optimized table. So we're using the SQL Server 2016
bits
with in-memory OLTP, where we can hopefully show some pretty cool performance.
Yep.
So here, when we're inserting the votes, we're using an in-memory stored procedure, which is basically take the SQL code, generate C++ code, run the in this case, Microsoft C++ compiler, yep. generate the library, load it, and run it. So it makes for very good performance experience. Then looking at the JavaScript portion of the app, you can see here we use the open source TDS driver to connect to SQL Server. So we can see there and here, you know, connect exactly the same way that I did before.
Yep.
And the app is going to run in a Docker container on my RHEL installation.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And then the other thing is the Java side of things. So here we're seeing we're using the Microsoft JDBC driver. And yeah, here you can see we're connecting to the database.
Yep.
Let's see, down here we have create database. Oh, this is perfect, Tobias. Yeah, again. Great, it's early in the morning. plus, yelling at Slava takes up.
It takes a lot of energy.
Yeah. Okay, so let's then start the Docker container. And this also kicks off a web server so that we can log in and basically look at the application. So.
Okay.
Let's switch over to Firefox here and browse to localhost 5000. And here we see we have a vote going on between penguins and polar bears. So I'm going to cast my vote here for penguins. And you can apparently vote multiple times, which is, I guess, useful. And then we can see now that penguins are apparently leading with 100%. We go back and cast a polar bear vote. Now it's 50-50. Okay.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool. We see, you know, an app built not using .NET, but in this case, Java and JavaScript.
Yep. Running in a container, yep.
Exactly. So I call it a modern app using SQL Server, all on Linux. So next step, we're going to see if we can just add a little bit of a workload here. So here we're running a simple workload generator, basically. Yep. That we call Baby Benchcraft. There we go. This looks a bit ugly. Let me just. There we go. Okay. So you can see here we have one connection against the database. We're waiting 100 milliseconds between each execution, and the connection is trying to insert a bunch of votes.
Okay.
And we see we're inserting about 1,000 votes a second here, and this is the total. And we can go back to the website and see how the votes are kind of coming in.
Oh, nice.
And penguins seem to be winning.
Yeah.
Who could have imagined?
Yeah, that's
right. Okay, so then let's see if we can just, you know, amp it up a little bit. So let me add a few more, you know, connections here. Let's have maybe 30 connections. And yellow here means that it's waiting. And when you see the little green blips, it's actually doing something. So it's spending most of its time waiting. So let's reduce the weights here. And you can see up in the left-hand corner how the insert rows per second is going up. And we can, you know, swap back to the website, see that it's seems to be going up.
Yep.
And then let's just bring it down a bit more in terms of weights. So here we're now inserting, you know, somewhere on my laptop, right, in the vicinity of 100 to 300,000 rows a second, and you can see it piling on here. So that's pretty cool for something Slava and folks poked around with to get up and running. But it's mostly because of me yelling.
And yes.
That's roughly what I wanted to show.
Oh, awesome. So this is, let's make a recap really quick. So this is, you've got a load generator inserting into an in-memory table.
Yep.
Using an in-memory store procedure.
Exactly.
Correct? Right, okay. Perfect. This is awesome. So this kind of, based on what you showed last time you were here, just kind of create database. This is shows the progress you've made to say, hey, we now support in-memory. And a lot of the awesome, great features.
Yeah.
This is great. All right. Slava, your turn.
So I would like to talk about what we've been busy with all this time.
Yeah.
So one of the things we are very much concentrating on the quality and making sure we have a battery of tests running. Like so SQL Server historically has more than 600, around 700,000 tests. And we need to run all of those against SQL Server on Linux. Mm-hmm. And we also have what we call smoke tests. Those are about 15,000. And so we have been concentrating all this time to make the lab ready, to set up the lab so that we can actually execute those tests in the lab. So we spent lots of time doing, because we really care about quality and we really want to make sure that we can get the best product out there possible. And it's just, as we said last time, it's a SQL Server, and it's just SQL Server with high quality. So this is what we've been concentrating on. We also understand that there's lots of concern around performance and people thinking and doubting whether we're going to deliver or not. So we, like in a moment, we're going to show like what we're doing in the performance lab to run the performance, and we're
Performance was a big one too, because after our last show, one of the comments was like, "Hey, when are you going to support in memory?" And like, ta-da!
Yes,
thank you very much.
Yes, exactly. And for as we said last time, it's just a SQL Server. All the features of SQL Server are there, and we're trying to enable them one by one. Make sure that they pass the smoke test first, and then that they pass all the tests possible. Okay. Also, the good news: most of the time, we're spending on the infrastructure rather than actually validating, finding bugs in SQL Server. Once we've done with the infrastructure, most of the time SQL Server just coming through.
Okay.
So that's a beautiful thing.
Nice. So that kind of speeds up the process of release, right?
Yes. Also, I want to make sure that so we onboarded more than 2,000 customers for the private preview. So
Getting
So we're doing monthly releases right now, and we'd like to apologize to many of you guys who sign up for private preview that we're just doing as we're onboarding as fast as we can. And
So we have more than 20,000 folks signed up.
And we really, really apologize that we cannot onboard all of you, because for us it takes time, and we want to make sure that everyone gets proper attention as we onboarding folks.
And those 20,000 are those 20,000 hard users? You're learning a lot from these 20,000.
We're gaining very good feedback, very valuable feedback. We're trying to give them new bits on a monthly basis. And things are looking so far so good. So we're pretty happy with what we're seeing. We're getting very positive feedback from the customers.
Good, okay,
and
good.
We're working hard to get a public preview out so that you know, anyone can just download it and work with it.
So be patient with us, and we're
going to get it. Mostly with
Slava. Yes. We want to make sure.
Because you don't want to be sounding like Tobias.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I'm taking the pain here.
Okay, so what I have, can we switch to Mac right now?
Yep, we're already on there.
Okay, beautiful. So what we have in here is pretty much right hot from the press. We are right now running the OLTP type of workload against two socket machine. Here on the left hand side, you see the SQL Server actually running on SQL on Linux.
Okay.
And then on the right hand side, you see the load generator that generates OLTP kind of old workload. And we are doing right now up to 6,000 transactions per second. This is very heavy I/O, random I/O type of workload. So for us, it's one of the things that we want to make sure that you get the best results possible here, right?
We should mention also that it's transactions per second. So that's not the same as I just showed actual individual rows.
Inserts. No, this is actually real transactions per second.
Right,
okay. And so rows are real.
Yes.
So there's real and there's real.
So as you can see here, things are not as good as we would like them to be. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what we want to show you. This is myself and the team has been working on this as we're speaking right now.
Okay.
And ideally you would see on the left at the bottom, you see this is the CPUs. And ideally, you would see all of them 100 CPU utilization was user in the user mode.
Okay.
Right now, as you can see, we keep on dropping back, and then you see red, it's a kernel time. So we do have a bottleneck that we keep continuously hitting that we're actually working through, and we're identifying them.
Okay.
So we think that in a few months, we will have this 100% CPU green. Load, green, and
No red.
No red, no drops, nothing.
And is that your motto? No red.
Yeah, no red. Yes, that's in fact, that's exactly what you want to do. Exactly where you want to be. You want to be in green zone, you want to avoid kernel as much as you can. And this is exactly what we're trying to do. So the good news also is that SOS, we're working on the replat.
What is SOS?
SOS is the SQL Server Operating System. So we're working on replatting that, and this is the benefits of SOS as you've seen in action.
So this gives us kind of a good idea, and I appreciate this, and I think so will our viewers, and go, look, this is kind of the stuff that they want to know about, and what really are you doing to make sure that SQL on Linux really, when it hits public preview or GA, that it really is on par with what they're used to.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, it's just SQL Server. So it has to be, that's a pretty high bar that we have to meet. We'll get back, I think the next time we do a Channel 9 video, we'll go into some more details around how this new SOS works and all of
this. I think there's quite a few shows that we would, I think the viewers love to see about more internals about, the SOS and
how this actually
works behind the scenes, right? Because I think this is a great teaser. I think people are going to be salivating all over their keyboards, right? But this is the kind of thing that I think everybody likes to see is like, how do we think about, how do we test SQL Server to make sure, right?
Yeah, so one of the things just to note here, right, this is a two-socket machines with 16-way, right?
Yeah.
With two sockets. So on the low-end machine, we actually right now, we're in our lab results, we're seeing on-par results with Windows.
Oh, really? Okay.
We're very close to, from OLTP type of benchmarks and the cloud benchmarks that we're running.
Okay.
So like this is a kind of already you see in the next step as we're developing, as we're working. So
good.
And SQL Server works on bigger machines than that?
Of course. And it's one step at a time, crawl, walk, run. And so, yes, once we nail this puppy, we'll go to four socket and then...
So is that's a good question. Is that you do two socket, four socket, right? And you just kind of, because are you saying, just going to ask, hopefully, probably a dumb question. We can't assume that because it does great on two sockets, it's not going to do great on four?
Yes, he's a bit of a sissy, right? We were supposed to start with a 644 core machine, 12 terabyte of memory, and work our way down, right?
So the
apparently.
I got my laptop right here. Let's start on that.
Usually the way it works, as your neighbor fixing the bottlenecks, you all of a sudden, at some point, CPU becomes your bottleneck, so you increase number of CPUs, then you cannot drive the CPU, there is something else. There you find that you're hitting more and more bottlenecks. As you remove those bottlenecks,
it's just
progression. This is exactly how we do every release, what we do every release cycle.
Right? We'll just tell everybody to go buy 164 core.
Our plan is, but obviously our plan is to have SQL Server running on 500 core machine, 12 terabytes of memory on Linux, big machine.
Perfect.
Yes.
Awesome.
And in fact, this is actually a nice problem to have as us developers, right? Mm. When you drive the system to 100% and you can't, and you solving this little puzzle. Some people can find out
the geek just showed up.
The fact that we're dropping here down to below 1,000 TPS, down to 500, 600, that is a problem. It's not. It's just it's a way for us to find a solution. So it's just a puzzle that we're going to unroll and we're going to figure out what it is.
Geeks like solving problems.
Exactly.
Solving puzzles.
So sometimes we introduce our own problems and then we solve them. And chasing our own tails. This is my...
hence my voice.
That's right. The truth comes out on the Data Exposed show. We like to introduce our own problems.
Yes.
Awesome. Gentlemen, this is great. A great demo. I think this, again, the questions were like, hey, what about X feature and X feature? It was great to see in memory working. Mm-hmm. The other things are, I'm sure we'll see more of the features coming out. And this is, I love this as well because it shows, hey, look, here's how we actually think about and kind of, how do they say it? Proof in the pudding type of thing where we actually mean that when we go out, here's how we, the internals about making it perform the way we want it to.
Yep.
Right. So great. Yeah. Gentlemen, thanks for coming to the show. It's great. We always enjoy and we look forward to having you back to look at this some more. So, hey, everybody, thanks for watching and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.